I'm Joel Baden, Professor of Hebrew Bible and Director of the Center for Continuing Education here at Yale Divinity School. As part of our bicentennial celebration, I've been sitting down with my colleagues from across the faculty, from all the different areas of the curriculum, to talk about where their fields have been, but more, where they are now and where they think they might be going in the next 25 or 50 years. As we look back at our past here at YDS, what does the future look like for our education, for our curriculum, for our faculty and our students? I hope you enjoyed these conversations as much as I enjoyed having them. I have the pleasure of being joined by my close colleague and friend, Professor Jackie Weintraub, to talk about the past and future of Hebrew Bible studies here at YDS on the occasion of our bicentennial, looking back at what has been really a full 200 years of biblical studies, and looking ahead to what might be coming down the road. So Jackie, first, thanks for taking the time. I think you and I feel very much like we're sitting like at the cusp of something new here, in part because we're here right at the divide between an older generation having recently retired in John Collins and Bob Wilson, and bringing on new people, yourself, Molly Zahn in Second Temple, and hopefully some new folks coming down the road. But I think also sort of just the state of the field as a whole is changing, and the way that we as a faculty approach the field is changing in pretty much in lockstep with that. Do you want to talk at all about, sort of how the field has been and what it's looked like here at YDS prior to now?
Sure. I mean, I wonder if like we need to go back only 200 years or if we can go back to the founding of Yale College.
Sure.
Right? In 1701, mm-hmm. as a college for training congregational ministers with biblical studies and the study of Hebrew and Hebrew Bible at its center. So I like to think that what we do here is at the intellectual heart of what Yale was founded to be. Mm-hmm. And it's not to study the Hebrew Bible necessarily, but that sort of muscle of like learning how to read critically and how to cultivate a kind of critical empathy for other cultures and other linguistic traditions and literary traditions. So I feel like that is, on the one hand, like part of a legacy that we belong to. Mm-hmm. And, I don't like to think of things as like clean breaks, like we're not making a clean break. Like we're part of a long tradition. And a long tradition that has a mixed history, if I'm going to put it lightly. But there are bright spots in the past, too. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. Our colleague who we never got the chance to meet from the 19th century, Josiah Willard Gibbs, one of the first biblical scholars, scholars of the Hebrew Bible, philologists at Yale in Divinity Hall. I think that's, that must have been 1869. So maybe he was part of the construction. I don't know. That was like their living village. Mm-hmm. He was really committed to understanding cultures through language. I mean, not just Hebrew and Hebrew Bible, but something that we've been talking a lot about here. About what it means to study the Bible critically and what it means to understand another literary culture. And he actually had the opportunity to testify in the Amistad case, which is a really like strange and extraordinary freedom case. And also he involved another Yale Hebraist, George Day, who was dean of Yale Divinity School. So I think that that's like one bright spot of our legacy that I like hope that we continue on. Like this is a place of thinking about language and text, mm-hmm. In a way that can matter in the world. Like sometimes people think like, first of all, they don't know what the word philologist means. They think it's like related to phrenology or like, figuring out the bumps on someone's head, which it is not, I should clarify. Imagining scholars just like locked up in their, messy offices, like covered in books. But really it's about being a part of the world and bringing the past into the present. And so I think that's like part of where we come from. I'm interested to hear what you think about where you think we're going. I mean, I keep reading the Society of Biblical Literature's reports on the state of the field and the demographics of the field. And certainly I'm proud to be, you know, I think the first Jewish woman Hebrew Bible scholar at Yale Divinity School.
Certainly so. Certainly so. I mean, I'm the first tenured Jewish faculty member here ever. And I was only the second one ever hired. And so for sure, I mean, you're going to be the first in any category that you want to lay claim to. It seems to me that when you think about where we've been, and you went back a long way, and I wouldn't go back so far, I would say that, you know, there have been sort of two dominant trends to Hebrew Bible scholarship here that sometimes have intertwined, one of which is the study of the Hebrew Bible as a facet of Christian scripture, which, of course, it is and is why so many of our students, I think, are compelled by it and are interested in it. But truly to reading it purely, I think, through a Christian lens rather than through a neutral or Jewish or ancient lens. I mean, I'm thinking of somebody here like Reverend Childs,
right. Who, although, you know, I'm going to correct you and say that there's no such thing as a neutral lens.
Sure. But a non-Christian one.
Sure. For sure.
So there's that on one hand. And then there is, I think, the approach of some of our more recent colleagues, Professors Wilson and Collins, which is really what I would think of as almost a pure historical critical, at least in their research, right? Trying to uncover, you know, the historical state of ancient Israel, where the text came from, or to unlock the text through understanding its historical context better. That's been the dominant thing. When I arrived, Yale was very much one of the places for historical critical work on the Bible. It's sort of how it was known. I think it still is, but not the way that it was.
Well, I mean, I guess I would say that it's not that we are becoming less historical critical, but rather that we are part of changing what that means,
mm-hmm.
like what it means to study the Bible from a historical critical perspective. Because, as I said before, there's no such thing as a neutral lens. So the historical critical, classically the historical critical approach, brings some baggage with it, as any kind of reading practice does. But I think what we're doing here that's unique is teaching our students how to reflect upon their reading practices themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the main sort of twists that we're doing, building upon, you know, what Wilson and Collins did here. And so I think in that respect, it's a new day because it involves also so many other disciplines. Like we can have conversations with so many other people across the university, I think, in ways that perhaps a more siloed historical critical approach to the Bible would not really allow us to. So, you know, we can talk to people in history, we can talk to people in, surely the historical critical approach has always had strong ties with religious studies and with Near Eastern languages and civilizations. But now I think we can talk to people in intellectual history and in English and comparative literature in ways that doesn't, and I don't want to say that doesn't compromise the historical critical approach, but actually like enhances it and brings other scholars into the work that we're doing here in ways that makes Yale Divinity School, you know, part of the larger Yale intellectual conversation.
So as we look ahead, what are we going to look like in 25 or 50 years? I think that you and I both feel like we're doing something cool
and man, do we still need some other stuff. And again, I think a lot of that has to do not just with us wanting to change what's going on at YDS, but at about it, it's about, you know, the field changing as a whole, and us wanting to make sure that we remain on the sort of cutting edge of that. What in your mind, if you could imagine sort of, as and you and I do this actually all the time, we sort of sit and imagine, oh man, what if in you know, if what if we could make the program look like this? I mean, for me at least, it would involve bringing in people who work on Bible from either non-traditionally Western, non-traditionally Eurocentric traditions, people who ask a whole sets of different questions of the text in a way that I think our students would both resonate with and benefit from enormously.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is a crucial part of it, and that's a crucial part of what some might call decolonizing mm-hmm. biblical studies. But I think another part of it, and this is like the dimension that, you know, I get most excited about, is thinking about the study of the Hebrew Bible and the study of Second Temple Judaism alongside other disciplines of ancient studies, like thinking about ancient studies as a larger intellectual project, and thinking about how the past can be important for us, not in obvious or cliched ways, but can be important for how we think about difference and what is shared and what makes us human. Really big questions that I think go beyond the sort of like narrow, the narrow questions that might be confined to a particular community. While extremely important to be able to address the kinds of questions that other communities, various communities have about the biblical text, I also like to think about the bigger questions and to, you know, bring us back into the central discourse of the humanities. To me, that's like one of the number one goals, I feel like, for our program. Here.
And of course, in a sense, we're the original humanities.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we started this conversation.
Yeah.
But the world has changed, and some people might be eager to bring in statistics of biblical literacy into this conversation. Mm-hmm. The way or the reasons people read the Bible have changed, or the things that they think about the Bible without, as an object. As an object that is, you know, they don't necessarily read, or as a sort of like symbol, has changed. Mm-hmm. And I think part of us being a part of that conversation means talking about the role of the Bible in the public square and the role of the Bible in contemporary political discourse, and the role of the Bible in a host of contemporary issues, and, you know, present political divides. I mean, I think those are all really urgent questions mm-hmm. for us. And strange to think that, the obscure philological has what to say about contemporary political issues. But I think the Bible is one of those points at which the two can meet. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I find it just so vibrant.
Yeah. Well, I think that you and I are both pretty excited about where we are and about where we're going soon. And thanks again for making the time to talk.
Definitely. Thanks.